Five geeks, five opinions, one podcast. Nerdgasm Noir Network, where we do nerd shit.
Hey, JP here. This is recording of the panel It's Not For Girls 2, Attack of the Fake Geek Girl at WizCon 37 on May 25th. Once you finish listening to a recording, sound off your thoughts concerning the topic of fake geek girls. If you want more information about WizCon, go to wizcon.info. That's WISCON.info. Enjoy!
I am the moderator. I'm Julie Andrews, and this panel is Not For Girls 2. What was the full title?
It was Attack of the Fake Geek Girl.
Attack of the Fake Geek Girl?
Something like that.
Yeah. Ooh, the Fake Geek Girl panel, and the hashtag is Fake Geek Girls with an S on the end. I'd like to start by asking all the panelists to introduce themselves and why you wanted to be on the panel.
Okay. Hi, my name's Piglet. I've been a geek as long as I've been a girl, and that's kind of why I wanted to be on this panel. I find this whole, this recent meme very confusing, and I kind of like to understand better where it's coming from.
I am Becky. I have also been both a geek and a girl for my whole life, and I wanted to be on this panel because I have spent, I have a couple times been, I would say, if not fully excluded, then certainly had some gatekeepers try and make sure that I was a real geek before they would talk to me, and I realized that I don't really want to play that game anymore, and I have been arguing with people about that on the internet for like 7 years now, and I need to stop doing that for my health.
I am Catherine Olson. I actually started out as a nerd for many years before I became a geek. I hope you're okay with that. I was very excited about this panel because every time I hear the word fake geek girl, like a tiny part of me explodes in rage and I destroy some, you know, alternate universe. The whole idea that there's like, you know, proof that needs to be given or some sort of, you know, level of credibility before some other like random person takes you seriously. It's like, seriously, how many times do we have to go through this?
I'm Jamie. I'm here to pretty much show you guys that, you know, brown girl geeks of color exist. We're not unicorns. You know, we get tired of the constant, you know, geek checking as well. So I think it's important to, you know, like, use our voice. So.
Okay, to start, does anyone want to put forth an origin story of the fake geek girl? There might be more than one origin story, as happens. Does anyone know where it started?
Well, once upon a time, there were some dudes who were really into stuff, and then a lady was like, I too like the stuff, and then they all looked at her askance, and then they wouldn't let her play in their clubhouse.
Okay, but seriously, when did that happen? Because, I mean, I was a geek and a girl a really long time ago, and men, boys were really actually kind of welcoming, because I was a girl who would play D&D, so that was new and different, and they liked me for that. And now, what the hell happened?
I have a feeling that it started, like, the whole phenomenon, like, as a widespread thing, it really boils down to the internet. Because, like, you were probably always going to have, like, the swivel factor when a girl walked into a gaming store or a comic book store. But you might also get swivel factor, you know, if just someone that people didn't know walked in. but just, like, the whole explosion of it kind of came, I think, came with the whole openness of the internet, where, like, everyone can be everywhere, and, like, when guys start to, when, like, not guys, when certain guys started to realize that, like, they couldn't just say what they want because on the internet no one knows you're a dog, they reacted poorly to the idea that they had to watch what they said and not be goons.
I was under the impression that it started when some girl, you know, decided that she liked things, and a guy assumed that she was doing it just to impress them, because everything we do is to impress guys for some reason.
I think that actually ties a little bit into what Piglet was saying about sometimes guys are very welcoming. My college experiences, and I don't want to say anything terrible about the dudes I was friends with in college, because they were really good dudes, but there was certainly an element of flirtiness that I don't think they had with each other. And it wasn't anything that I had intentionally been like, oh, I'm going to go in and flirt with these dudes, but it was just sort of a thing that happened when there were only a couple girls in a group that was mostly male, and it just sort of felt like, oh, that's how things are, and that was a form of welcoming, but that wasn't really always what I was looking for in that group, and it sometimes felt nice, like, hey, I'm being recognized as a girl and not made fun of, and that's really cool and not something that's happened to me a lot before, but at the same time, sometimes I just want to hang out and talk about things that are nerdy and not have to worry about that element of it. And I think that is not just an internet phenomenon. Like, that was what happened to me in college and with some people I was friends with after college, which was not, like, an online community.
Okay. Here's this for a theory. Okay, Comic-Con was this nice little con for people who liked comic books. And then it got bigger, and then it got bigger. And then all the media people came in, and then Twilight happened. And suddenly Comic-Con was full of teenage girls who were only there for Twilight. Well, not, you know, some of them were only there for Twilight and only to see their favorite actors ever. And they were caused really long lines, and they didn't know a single thing about comic books. What do you think of that theory? Any thoughts about Twihards at all? Do you think they're fake geek girls, or do you think they're real geek girls?
I think that they're very geeky about the things that they love, and if that's not what the definition of geek is, then I don't know what it is. And I think that the problem comes in when Twilight, which, like, it's not my bag, but it gets dismissed a lot because it's something that girls like and get geeky about. Mm-hmm. And so I do think that there was a certain amount of, no, they're not real geeks because they're geeky about Edward Cullen and not about Batman. And that's wrong. But I don't think that is wrong. And so I do think that that was sort of the explosion of it on the internet and in discussion, and maybe the origin of, like, the phrase fake geek girl, but I think that that was part of a long, long cultural trend of things that girls like and get really passionate and intense and geeky about being dismissed.
So I think the point earlier about the flirtiness is well taken, too, because I see a lot of that resentment against cosplayers, women who take a lot of time to dress up as their character, and they look really great. But then they're not available for sexual relations with these boys who think they're so hot, and therefore that's a source of this resentment. It seems to come out of a sense of entitlement, and I wonder when geeks developed that sense of entitlement, because geeks did not start out feeling entitled.
I don't know if it's necessarily geeks always feeling entitled, but... There's
fake boy geeks.
That's what it is. I think it's not so much geek entitlement, it's just general entitlement. There's always someone that feels entitled towards other people. Like, there's this general sense of men feeling entitled towards women, period, and any other, like, oh, that like, you know, that cheerleader, she's way out of my league, but still, you know, she should be paying attention to me and not that jock. Mm-hmm. And it's not just men versus women. I mean, obviously, you know, there's a broad spectrum of entitlement issues, like you and your stuff should be mine if I want it. I don't necessarily want it, but it should be. And I don't think that geeks of any stripe have ever really, you know, been free and clear of that. There may be a sense, you know, of especially, you know, coming out of high school or something and being picked on, there might be just a general sense of personal self-esteem. But just because you may not have high self-esteem, and just because you know that you're not necessarily the cool kid and that you might expect to be bullied and have been bullied or picked on, doesn't mean you can't also feel entitled.
Oh, wait, you got that. Okay. Might be easier to
just... yeah, I was going to switch. See, for me, coming into, like, you know, sort of late, I was a late blooming geek because when you're, you know, around certain people, you know, you don't really want to talk about Buffy or your love of Buffy because people look at you strangely. So it was something that you keep to yourselves because if you let people know, then they'll, you know, think that there's something wrong with you. When you, you know, find yourself with a room full of other geeks who love, you know, things as much as you do, you want to, you know, it's a safe space. It's supposed to be a safe space for you. And sometimes it's not the case. You'll go to a con and you'll cosplay, like Biglet was saying, and, you know, you'll get strange looks because, you know, you're a girl dressed up and, you know, what do you know about this character anyway? What gives you the right to dress up as this character? I know this character backwards and forwards. And, like, you know, people will come up to these girls who are dressed up and they will geek check them. And it's bizarre to me because, like, it would seem like this place that's supposed to be inclusive and welcoming, you know, you should, you know, like, embrace them and not, you know, give them, you know, 20 questions or, like, this, you know, in-depth interrogation of, you know, the history of, you know, Poison Ivy. But, you know, I don't know, so.
I just, the whole idea of the, it's supposed to be inclusive and welcoming, I think in some ways, parts at least of geekdom have always wanted to have it both ways. Like, this is a weird conversation to have because it deals with, like, generalities that are obviously not true in every sense. So I'll just say that now, and then I can not have to say it each time, but, like, they, whoever they are, want to be welcomed and included because of their love of this thing. But at the same time, some people in geekdom, like, as I think a geek should, want to share and want to bring people in. But there's also people, I think, coming out of that low self-esteem place of really, like, this is mine. This is mine. This is my space to be the person who is cool and who knows everything. And it's my clubhouse. And I want say over who comes into it. And if you come into it, you need to acknowledge that I am the lord and master of this clubhouse, and you need to pay your dues and earn my respect because this is my space. You know, I mean, obviously not everyone, but I think there's a really strong element to that.
I do think some of it has to do with identity and the idea of geek as an identity, especially if it's like, oh, I've been bullied or made fun of and excluded from those things because of these things that I am and these things that I love. But that also makes me special. It makes me feel like, oh, I love this thing and it's smarter than pop culture. And so that's, you know, I'm special and smart and no one else gets it. And then when other people are like, actually, no, I like that thing too, it's not special anymore. And if this is what I am and it's not special, then how dare you take that away from me? Which is an impulse that I get and I'm not proud of, but I try to check it and not be a jerk. And I feel like when you add the gender dynamics of, a lot of science fiction and fantasy and nerd things being part of the traditionally male domain. And then the people who are saying, no, but me too, I like that too, are female. The gender politics, like, become very noticeable, and it becomes the fake geek girl, because not just is somebody trying to enter this space that used to make people feel so special and, like, give them sort of that retreat and that place where they could be themselves, but it's a girl, and suddenly there's, like, a question of, but why? Why is she here? Like, what's, I'm suspicious of ladies on general principle. And I don't know where that comes from, but I think that it becomes a much more noticeable dynamic when the newcomer is female.
People have mentioned cosplay. Do you think part of it comes in when someone cosplays as part of a group and they have not been a fan of the show, they don't really know anything about it, they've just joined as part of the group? Because all their friends needed, like, someone, another person to join their group, because you need 7 senshi or whatever. Do you think that might play sort of a part of it? Or does that only happen when they start getting questioned on their cred?
I would say that perhaps that's occasionally, but I think the odds of, you know, some cosplayer just happening to be, like, the random friend who was pulled in to be part of a group costume versus a cosplayer who's just getting questioned because she's female, I think it's possible but not probable. I think it's a lot more... I mean, if you look at a lot of the icons that are out there to cosplay... So, I mean, this is, like, an entirely other panel, but, like, how much of female characters are highly sexualized, and also how many of them are, like, in, they're not necessarily starring roles, they're off-sides roles. In a way, it's kind of funny, because if you are cosplaying as a character who's not, you know, Superman or Batman, like, the one that everybody knows, if you're playing some, you know, more obscure female character, it's like, look, I had to look up and research and get the costume details right on this obscure female character that isn't everywhere, and you're questioning my credentials? Like, the odds that I would just randomly look on the internet and go, ooh, this is pretty, and go through the effort of making it, it just seems so bizarre. Whereas, you know, a guy who's cosplaying as Superman, like, you don't have to know anything about Superman to cosplay as Superman. But, you know, even if you were the biggest non-geek in the world, you're probably going to know who Superman is because it's such a huge, major part of our culture. It's easy. And same thing with Batman. Same thing with so many big male icons. And it's just like, really?
Yeah, I think definitely there's... I think there's a lot of safety in numbers. I think the lone cosplayer is a lot more likely to get checked like that. Yeah. What was my idea? sorry, I'll go for that.
So I attended a Fake Geek Girl panel at another convention, and one of the theories was that in the past, female geeks dressed like male geeks, you know, t-shirt, jeans, no makeup, and that they're starting to dress, some of them, more girly with, you know, girly-ish stuff and looking pretty, and that is part of it. What do people think of that theory?
Wow, that's like my next panel, or my two next panels wrapped up in one. Oh. One question. Like, my first foray into geekdom was band geekdom, so, you know, that's, like, it's its own thing, but it has a lot of geekdom swirling around in it, and its own gender politics. But immediately after high school, I discovered LARPing. And it was at the time of, you know, the classic World of Darkness vampire game, which had a lot of women playing in it. And I had an awesome group here in Madison that was, you know, there was still gender politics bullshit and, like, hey, can I give you a back rub? But it was, it, like, no one was, like, they were like, sweet, you want to play a Tremere or a Toreador or a Melkavian? Oh, my gosh, sweet, another Bruja. You know, I was very excited. But at the same time, I'm thinking about what I was wearing when I wasn't, you know, playing my weird vampire character. And I was wearing baggy jeans, specifically guys' jeans, white T-shirts, and flannel. It was the 90s. And anytime I was wearing a dress, it was like, oh, is it laundry day? That's weird. Catherine's wearing a dress, and it's not for gain. That's so strange. And it wasn't until quite a while later that I started being like, it's okay to look like a girl when you're not playing a character. No one's gonna, well, I mean, they might, but screw them. Or not. They might judge you differently, but that's their problem and not yours. And it took a long time for me to get okay with that.
So that actually ties back into the thing I was trying to think of, which is, are geeks still being picked on? And is this resistance, is this kind of a wish to still be picked on and to maintain the gatekeeping of this private space? Like, is it still a bad thing to be a geek? It's so popular now.
I don't think so. I think it's kind of accepted now. You have people running around with fake glasses and, you know, like Mr. Rogers sweaters, and, you know, kind of just out there doing them. And there's not so much, you know, you're not being ostracized anymore.
So maybe some of this is resentment of losing the specialness of being
You're losing your identity.
Mm-hmm. And so turning around and picking on other people in order to try to regain that sense of superior identity that you used to get from being bullied.
You think
so? Join in.
You may not be getting picked on. I mean, I'm way out of high school, but I'm assuming kids these days. You're maybe not getting picked on because you like video games, but geeks are still getting picked on because of whatever reason someone else wants to pick on them. I mean, they weren't necessarily getting picked on for liking Star Trek or Star Wars or whatever. It was just a thing. It was a reason because they were vulnerable. If it was like, you know, the star football player who liked these things, no one would have said anything else. So I don't think it's that people aren't getting picked on anymore and so, like, they want that back. I think people are still getting picked on. Like, bullying is still a thing, you know?
Wasn't there a time when the star football player would have hidden his appeal for those things?
I do think it's changing, and I think that's really cool, but I also think that smart kids are still picked on, and awkward kids are still picked on, and there's still a lot of overlap and intersection between those two. And so it might not be, I'm picking on you because you love comic books, because comic books are cool, but it's, I'm picking on you because you are weird. And the weird doesn't necessarily have to be assigned to the things that you like or the way that you identify. It's just the humans sorting themselves into factions and some being dominant and some not.
Like, I'm picking on you because I can get away with it.
Yeah, people can kind of be jerks sometimes. Like, spoiler.
I mean, I think that even if people are still getting picked on in high school, this sort of entitlement that's happening is outside of high school, right? Like, we're all going to cons, we're outside of high school, I could see someone that's like, oh, here they are walking in after the fact. I paid my dues, what's going on? I don't know.
I think also a key factor of being a geek is not necessarily what you wear, but the level of your enthusiasm. And especially among people in Mr. Rogers sweaters and big glasses, it is not cool to be enthusiastic.
Those are the hipsters.
Hipsters
okay.
And geeks are not
the same. Same, that's true. Yes.
Are you guys...
But hipsters are stealing our culture and we have to keep them out.
We were going to open to questions later, but are you guys okay with doing it now or in general?
Oh, I have a question. Is a fake geek girl a hipster?
I think a female hipster might be a fake geek girl, but they're not necessarily the same. But when I say, well, you know what? No, I take it back. I don't like the concept of fake geek girl. I think
I think everybody is entitled to, I mean, like you were saying earlier, everybody is enthusiastic about a certain thing, and that's their thing, and they have every right to, like, geek out over it. I don't like Twilight at all. It makes me break out in hives. I think that, you know, Stephanie Meyer is devil, but if, you know, if it makes a 15-year-old girl read a book, I am all for it. But yeah, like, we all have our thing, and it's okay to have our thing, and it's okay to share it, and, you know, just, you know, wild out, so...
Yeah, we can take a couple questions, and then I did want to move on to, like, the latter part of the description.
I don't think you can see her, but she's had her hand up for a while.
I'm going into high school this August, and it's definitely still like that. To a point, it's the fake geek girls are not necessarily hipsters, but there is definitely, like, the stereotypical geek that you think of, comic books, webcomics, TV shows, isn't really that anymore. It's kind of changed to a different topic.
Mm-hmm.
That there's maybe like the traditional geeks are becoming more cool and more people are liking them, so that the other more obscure TV shows are taking the place of the comic books and other stuff.
Okay, she basically said high school is still like we think it is. and while some geekdom has gone mainstream, there's still lots that aren't. I think someone in the back in maroon.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say another problem with, like, the dressing up more masculine, that definitely still occurs. And I think that the quote-unquote problem that a lot of geeks have once you start to dress high femme, as opposed to trying to dress more masculine, is that it's still considered to be a masculine thing to be a geek. And a lot of, even women, in order to be accepted into geekdom, would defeminize themselves to try to be accepted into that group. And so there's even still, like, even amongst women who have been accepted into geek groups, there's still a lot of hostility toward women who choose to remain high femme and still be nerds. Like, what are you doing? You're going to make them realize that we're women. You know, you're going to get me kicked out because I'm next to you and you're high femme. How could you not want to be included? Can't you understand that, you know, you're going to be ostracized because you want to look pretty, but you still want to be enthusiastic about Doctor Who? And that's still very much a thing that happens.
So you're saying that female geeks who dress high femme are not conforming to the male space?
Definitely, and they're definitely more ostracized, and even in the convention space, a woman who chooses to remain, who wants to be pretty, but who still wants to be a geek, I see a lot more like hip-checking, like, you know, what are you doing here at the door to those women? And I think that's unfortunate because I don't think it matters what you look like if you want to be passionate about what you're passionate about.
One of the things that I am geekishly enthusiastic about is pop music and a culture aimed at tween and teenage girls. I myself, like, I'm not terribly feminine. I don't know if the t-shirt and cardigan and everything else about me makes that totally clear, but it's a thing that I try on sometimes. But when it comes to pop music, which is so linked with young women and femininity, one of the things that I've done that I think has startled various dudes in many circles that I've moved in is when it comes up to be not just, oh, this is a thing that I like, but very specifically, fuck you, this is a thing that I like. And I will not listen to people who dismiss it because it is very feminine and there is a tendency of people to shrug it off and say, oh, it must be stupid or oh, it must be bad without knowing things about it. And that really bothers me in large part because it is so linked to this is a thing that I love that is feminine and I don't want to have to pretend that I don't like it and I don't want to listen to people talk trash about it. And it is very much a reminder of, no, I'm a girl and I like girl things.
What you said also reminded me of how many times among geek girls that I've known, especially when younger, but there's still some of it, where they'd be like, even in our larger geek circle, there'd be like, you know, smaller sub-circles, and there'd be the girl who would be hanging out regularly with, like, you know, four or five other guys, often like the particular tabletop group within the LARP or something, and hearing someone kind of almost say it as if it was like a badge of honor that, like, oh, most of my good friends are guys. I'm just not friends with girls. Yeah, it drives me crazy. Yeah. Like, this, you say this like it's a good thing. I mean, it's great that you're friends, that you have friends that are guys, but it's like kind of sad that you were excited about the fact that you are not friends with other women.
I have a question. Back to the origin thing. Did this, because we're talking about how girls' interests are downgraded, and it occurs to me, you mentioned Buffy earlier, mm-hmm. that seems to me to be one of the first fandoms that was really for girls. Mm-hmm. Is that when this whole fake girl, geek girl thing started? Because we got to be geeks, and we were geeks about something that they weren't geeking about?
Before Buffy, there was Xena.
Yes. Xena. And cosplay. Oh my god, yeah.
I feel like we can try and track down the first thing that women were geeking about forever, but let's be real. This is the 37th WISCON. Women have been geeking about things for a really long time. I don't think we're going to find the first one where the sexism started, because the it's origin. Kind of always been there, because women have always been there, and sexism has
always existed.
Been a thing.
And a word about Twilight and Comic-Con. I work Comic-Con, so I was at Ground Zero when all of that kind of hit. The thing is, though, is that there was an article that came out in CNN where there was, like, some prominent geeky guy who he kind of linked geek women with booth babes. And so, and
I think I remember this.
And yes, Joe Peacock. And so this whole thing exploded in such a way where you had people who were like, oh, they don't know anything, blah, blah, blah. And it was like, guess what? A lot of these women that you see who work those booths, number one, it's a gig. They are working. They're in the bathroom. They got to get pretty. They don't have to know what you know. And but he's like, it's spoiling my fun. I'm like, dude, you won. You have the biggest con. You have the biggest con on the planet. It doesn't get any better than that. But then you had something like Twilight, where there were a lot of girls who came to Comic-Con that year, and subsequent years afterwards, they stayed. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, oh, well, you know, now you can have Princess Hulk. Now you can have Princess Vader and Princess Batman. They want to be pink and heroes. But there is still this thing of like, oh, well, it's taking away all of our fun. And I'm like, guess what? They have discretionary income. They get to spend it just like you do.
And also,
I caution people to not hold on to the Twilight connection in this, because we go down that road of somehow our geek is better than yours, because it's something that's deeply problematic. And we can all talk about something that's deeply problematic that we love. So I really caution people. It's like, we can have a good discussion about Twilight because there's a lot to unpack, but don't hook on it a certain way, because Buffy gets a lot of street cred, and I can name you a dozen.
Those, yeah, like so many things wrong with the week first. We don't even need to go. Yeah.
Did anyone have anything to say about booth babes? No. Yes?
Well, I was to go back to the woman that was that talked about the femme geek checking or whatever, like the in-group geek checking. I think we need to realize that whether we're, you know, dressed in like a Beavis and Butthead t-shirt and like ratty jeans or a bikini top and, you know, some Daisy Dukes, we're gonna be subjected to, you know, shit talking from various folks who feel like we shouldn't belong. And you can, you know, you can't hide your boobs, you can't hide your ass or whatever. And it's just what we just have to deal with. The thing where we, you know, we also have to be mindful of what we do to each other. And I see like a lot of things where a lot of times, you know, where we are, you know, looking at girls who might be a little more attractive or less, you know, or, you know, might have a little skin showing, whatever, and we automatically go there. I think that's, you know, going back to the booth babe thing, like you were saying, like they're there to work. They might know some stuff. It's none of your fucking business anyway.
Right.
Like just let them do them and that's it. But I just want to just stress that we need to be better to each other as well. We don't have to take on, you know, what the guys do. You know, we just, you know, it's just a matter of respect.
Yes, I agree. I think booth babes need to go, but I think they need to go from all conventions everywhere, and it's not a reflection on them and their job. I mean, I hope they find work elsewhere. But it's a system, and their role in it is not, they're not the problem.
Can we get both guys? I would appreciate some
balance. Both dudes, yes, I am all for it.
I've been to a knitting convention, and they have those biddies, the older women, who are there to be grandmotherly and sell you yarn. It's the same deal. They're not necessarily knitters. They're just there to be decorative.
Okay, there was a hand in the back for a long time.
Sorry. I think the problem is that no matter what, we can't win. And that's, I mean, if you're traditionally feminine, you're what the geek guys consider traditionally attractive, then you can't possibly be a geek. And if you're not, then you can't possibly be a girl. Part of my day job is recording videos. I will not look at the YouTube comments on these videos because I know what's going to be there. I have heard mumblings about what is there. I won't look at it because I don't want to feel bad about myself. But it's not that anyone's questioning my geek cred, it's questioning my right to exist because I'm a woman who is not what they find attractive. Right. And I think we've all internalized this going through high school and being teased and mocked by other women because they're stuck in the same system we are of patriarchal standards. It made me suspicious of any woman who was attractive. And I recognize that and I try to break that habit, but that's where it comes from, because we get a lot of visitors in my office, and we had a woman, and she was super nice. She was so friendly. She was like asking us about our jobs. She was talking about her love for the X-Men movies and how much she thinks the Beast is great and how Jennifer Lawrence is awesome. And I had a great conversation with her, and I remember thinking after, I can't believe that someone who looks like someone who may have made fun of me in high school was nice. And that's, I mean, I shouldn't be thinking that way. It's terrible, but it's what was ingrained in me, and it's all from the same, like, obviously it's a problem when women are doing it, but they're doing it because they're trapped in the same thing all of us are of. These are the standards that patriarchal society has put on us, and we can't win. If we look feminine, then we are creds completely questioned, and if we don't, then we have no right to exist at all, and there's no way out of that unless we dismantle the patriarchy.
That's an idea. I'm with that.
I feel like I should summarize that for the mic, but I don't know if I could do it justice.
Dismantle the patriarchy.
Okay. I have not been really keeping track of hands, but I think you had your hand up for a little while.
Yeah, I'm mostly used to running into the more of a fake girl thing from the perspective of more nerd geek than like fandom geek. Because like I was in like the Linux group at college, and one of the things that I noticed is it seems like male geek spaces are much more accessible for women if you're coming in at beginner knowledge, because they're a lot more accepting as long as they can usher you in and they get to play the gatekeeper that way. Like as long as they can do that, but like if you're coming, if you're going, no, I'm already in the walls, and they're like, what do you mean? I didn't see you go through the what? then it's like it just throws everything off. Because like every time that they had any kind of like, well, maybe we should involve more women in this, all of their ideas for how to do that was, how do we get newbies in? It's like these are not the same category.
Okay, so some guys equating girls with newbies because they're not geeks yet, but we can turn them into one.
Right.
Yeah.
I think with that whole thing, a lot of that comes from, well, in things in general, this idea that women don't know what we're doing when we do stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, there's this wide idea that, oh, we get into this, we get into it before the male gaze. We got into it and we don't know anything about it. We're just kind of wandering in there like idiots. And so some man needs to come and tell us what to do. Like you guys have said before, there have been female geeks since the dawn of time. It's just that we're not presented in the front. We're in the background. We're on the side somewhere. It's always presented as geekdom as this male thing that all these boys do, they get together and they do. So when people see us, they can't possibly see us as being knowledgeable about the subject.
We discover DNA, but we don't get the Nobel Prize for it.
You just get cancer.
I think another issue is, I know for myself, for a long time, I didn't consider myself geeky or nerdy. It would just, I was just being me. Mm-hmm. And then when I got into more spaces, so my particular thing is I like messing with computers. So when I started getting to those type of spaces, and it was mostly guys who was doing it, and they see me, there's, and I was doing the same things that they were doing, and they was calling themselves nerds and geeks. And I'm like, well, I'm the same thing then. And for some reason, by the basis of me having different parts to them, I wasn't considered a geek or nerdy because of that. And I think a lot of times that us as women, we tend to just be and not try to, I guess, label ourselves, because we get labeled so much from outside forces.
But like I said, I started out as a nerd before I was a geek. And it was actually a long time, once I became a geek that I took, like a band geek, that I took it on as like something to be proud of. I mean, I didn't choose to call myself a nerd. Like, nerd was what I got called because when we would go to, like, class trip to the public library, I would be the one with, like, the giant stack of books that I would actually read. And I was the one who knew the things about stuff because I also read at home and would have discussions with my parents and would question the teachers when they would say that the Earth was 6,000 years old. Yeah, I went to one of those schools. And so it was not, like, you know, I watched Doctor Who in the 80s on PBS with my mom, but it was just a show we watched, you know. It was a great show, and I loved pretending it, and my sister and I loved pretending to play Voltron in the backyard, but I still have it. My prized possession was, like, the neighbor kid's Star Wars blaster that he abandoned when it got slightly broken, but I wasn't, like, you know, that wasn't, like, my identity. I was just a kid doing my thing, and I was a nerd because I was smart and academic, and so it was kind of delightful to take on, like, geek as a good thing. But it came after years of being told specifically that I was a nerd, and so then to be hearing people say later on that, like, oh, girls as geeks are nerds, they don't exist, I'm like, are you serious?
I was very, very lucky in a lot of ways. My parents are both super nerdy and geeky about their own things. And my dad's favorite writers are Tamora Pierce and Mercedes Lackey. So I got a lot of my more traditionally feminine fantasy book love from my dad. And it didn't, and comic books and a lot of things, like, that was what we bonded over and the things that he passed down to me. And I was lucky through college with the people I was friends with, and it wasn't until after college when I had this first serious gatekeeping incident that I was like, holy this is really sexist, when I was working in a bookstore and flipping through a Batman paperback, and one of the other guys who worked there was like, oh, what are you doing reading that? I was like, well, I haven't read it yet, so I'm reading it. And he was like, wait, do you like Batman? And when I said yes, he was like, oh yeah, you like Batman? Well, name three Robins. And it was like, oh. And, like, I was very flustered because I'd never run into it before, so I did, and I answered his questions for, like, the next 15 minutes, and then he had to go back on shift so I could read my comic book in peace. But I was, like, and it took me a long time to unpack why I had been so upset by that, because I had never run into it before. But it was, like, this first shock of, oh, wait, no, there are gender dynamics here that I have not had to deal with before, but that have been going on for a long time.
I think you had your hand, you still have a...
I know those two have for a while as well.
Okay, and then I have a question. So, who?
Some of your comments, Jamie, about cosplay and whether very detailed cosplay or t-shirts, really, and also the thing about women not knowing what they're doing that came from back here, really reminded me of the BioShock Infinite t-shirt incident, which I know some of y'all have seen. A woman BioShock Infinite t-shirt, which is a game, for those of you who may not know, it's very complicated and very long, was in line getting coffee. The guy next to her sneered at her and said, "You've probably never even played." Only she has some serious cred, and instead of listing her credentials, just told him how it ended. And so that really, like, this was all of that, like, right there. It doesn't matter what T-shirts, Transformers, mm-hmm. whatever. You're a girl. You don't know what you're doing.
And the hostility that she got for writing about mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
Tremendous amount of hostility.
Like, it was almost a tweet. And, like, how could you do that?
That actually segues into my question. What have people been doing to counteract the fake geek girl meme, and what can we do in the future?
Dismantle the patriarchy?
That one's still on
point. How about a little, anyone slightly more specific?
Before I make my comment, I also know there's one girl in the back who's been, like, really trying to get her hand called on for a while. So I wanted to point her out. I think one thing that we can do is just continue to do what we've been doing and calling it out when we see it, and, like, you know, bracing ourselves for the backlash, but calling it out and encouraging other people to call, because, like, the more people who call it out, both women and men, to say that's bullshit, the more there's a front, there's this wall of, no, that's not good. And eventually, when you see the wall, I mean, I don't think it's ever going to go away, but I think when it starts to become, like, no, that's not acceptable, because when you do that, like, the force of the internet will come down on you, you know, it'll make it, like I said, well, it won't go away. It might make it less blatant and less frequent.
I don't know if you guys remember the Felicia Day incident. I think it was last year, the year before last, where, like, someone, like, could try to check her, and, like, the entire internet came down upon that person, and there was just Facebook posts and, like, tweets and everything. I mean, and I think it ties back into what she was saying. When we, you know, when we see some wrong stuff go down, we have to be vocal about it, and we have to shut it down, and we have to just continue to do so. And on, you know, in the same time, we have to also nurture ourselves. We have to sort of, you know, stop, you know, checking each other when we, you know, see something that, you know, seems amiss, or we don't like your shirt and whatever. But yeah, so it's just a matter of doing that and being more and more vocal and being more supportive of ourselves. So.
So when you see something, say something.
who was it in the back?
There's the pigtails.
And one of the things that I was going to bring up is with also with gatekeeping is how it affects newbies. I'm fanish about things that have been going on for 37, 20, and 75-plus years, respectively. Somebody new comes in, and it's, like, if it's a girl, they're just like, I like this, and it's immediately the, well, what do you know about this season and this person and who is in one episode? And that person's not going to really feel welcome or want to continue. So there's a lot to be said about trying to at least try and stop the people who are doing that. And everyone I know who suddenly got fanish about the Avengers after the movie came out. Mm-hmm. Well, what do you mean you haven't read every single issue of the comic books?
I think that is something that when we are geeky about a thing and we see that happening, there are is a very direct intervention, which is ignore those douchebags, come be friends with me. I think, Jess, did you have a...
Well, it's not about how to solve the problem necessarily, and this may be splitting semantical hairs, but the actual meme, the fake geek girl meme, not the concept of fake geek girl, but the picture of the girl with the glasses saying, like, I don't know anything about Batman, was actually called the idiot nerd girl meme, not fake geek girl. But everybody immediately started using the phrase fake geek girl. And I guess my question for the panel was, is there a difference between an idiot nerd girl and a fake geek girl, and why did the fake geek girl subsume the idiot nerd girl, and let's eradicate both of those terms. They enrage me.
I think it was the Joe Peacock blog post. Isn't that where the phrase actually started just really taking off, was with his condemnation of booth babes?
I think that one phrase did, but I had seen the idiot nerd girl meme on Tumblr.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I think there was some how that they sort of kind of massed together at the same time. And yes, it literally did like subsume one, and it was completely gone because I hadn't seen it in a very long mm-hmm. time. But I think it's easier for people to say, well, it's just fake, because they have that need for authenticity. And you mentioned Felisa Day, because what happened to Aisha Tyler?
Yeah, that was another thing I wanted to point out.
No defense of her.
None.
And that brings up a whole thing of the hierarchy of pretty. Mm-hmm. Because Felicia has a lot of cred and whatnot, but then so does Aisha. She's a hardcore gamer.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, I opened E3, for God's sakes. And you had people calling her everything but a child of God. And not one word from the geekosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And the big thing is, Aisha Tyler's black. And that kind of feeds into some of this in very weird, subtle ways.
Someone had mentioned messing around with computers earlier, so I know you're familiar with what's been going on over there. We have learned that keeping quiet and just getting along and being one of the guys does not work. Things get worse, so you absolutely have to speak up. But then when you speak up, other women have to support you. The thing about Adria Richards, when she called out the sexist behavior at the conference behind her, and then the firestorm that descended on her, I really, you know, the best response I saw to that was, and Anita Sarkeesian, oh my God. But the best response I saw to Adria Richards was, you know, it would have been so great if she had turned around and they had hashed out Middle East peace.
Yes, I remember seeing
that. Well, and the thing with Anita Sarkeesian, though, is that it ended up backfiring in her favor. I mean,
yeah,
she got more than 25 times the amount of funding that she originally asked for, and she's spoken at TEDx Women Now about it, and the idiot nerd girl meme has been reclaimed by women in places like Tumblr and all over the internet. And so I think as much as the internet can be a force for the hive mind of evil, I think it can also be a force to reclaim what's yours. And I think that in a lot of ways, as the internet is so widespread now, you know, the internet's not like a clubhouse anymore. Everyone is online now, and I think along with that there's been a lot of negative, but I think that it's also been an avenue where people can find their own safe spaces now and reclaim the things that have been taken from them.
I agree, and I think that's awesome, but I think I would also love to move to a place where we don't need to be reclaiming things because things haven't been taken away, and where we can do things like raise money for an awesome series discussing sexism in video games without anyone having to get death threats. But I do think that things are improving. Slowly.
One thing that's really kind of basic about all of this is that if there's going to be an us, definitionally there is a them. And so as soon as the ostracized get together to become an us, they create the wall. I mean, how many of you have read Le Guin's The Dispossessed? Because it opens with the discussion of the wall and the gate. Shevik is walking along a road, and he comes to a wall, and there's this notional gate. It's just an opening in the wall around the spaceport. And he said, and it says, on the one side, there is his entire life, and on the other side, there's the universe. And which side is what's enclosed? The world of Inares or the universe? Who's the us and who's the them? And so people who have been part of the them for a very long time are eager to become an us and are going to defend being an us. And often that means for in this community, that means being considered sexually negligible. You're out of the mating ritual. You're not good enough. Everybody else is out of your league. And so suddenly, you're going to want to defend the possibility that somebody might find you sexually viable. That somebody might want to be your romantic partner. And so you find this girl that likes some of the things that you like. And you don't necessarily want to just see her as a human being, because this whole new world of possibilities has opened up.
This is totally flippant and not really a good response to the point. But so if there's always an us and them, I think that humanity's answer
is that we need to really pay attention to the Martian threat. We need to band together, brother and sister, across the world against the Martians.
I also just want to toss out the reason I didn't answer the question about the idiot nerd girl fake geek girl thing is because I have no idea. Like, what that means, that the one phrase ate the other, or right. that the one, like, idea of this meme of fake geek girl came out of something that was differently phrased. I don't know. But I do think it's a really interesting question.
Did anyone know which hand was first?
I have an answer to the fake geek girl versus idiot nerd girl. It's not a definitive answer, but idiot nerd girl, if she's an idiot, then she doesn't know what she's doing. Fake geek girl is trying to infiltrate.
She has an agenda.
Martian threat.
Infiltrator. She is like doing weird girl espionage. And she needs to be taken down.
I have to change my Twitter handle to Weird Girl Espionage. So see, she's like Zoe Deschanel, is what you're saying. No? I'm kidding. I love Zoe.
Yeah, the red right here.
Oh, so for me, geekdom has always been one of my avenues to be masculine, where none of my friends would give me shit for, like, not wanting to wear a dress, or, I mean, that's a bad example, but something like that. So, I don't know, I just feel like it's a very interesting space for people to just, like, we should be able to express whatever type of weird gender shit you want. I am not quite sure how to finish that thought.
Can I finish it?
Yes.
I am not a femme, therefore I fit in as a geek.
Yeah, actually, I identified as a geek before I picked any other label for myself, and I always saw geek as gender neutral, which I really liked. So I actually don't even like the phrase geek girl, because now you've turned geek into male irredeemably, and I don't like that.
I tend to go with geek lady, because I am a grown-ass woman, and like, I work in a tech field, and I don't really want people calling me a girl. I would much rather be recognized as a woman
lady
who knows a lot of things and is the person who will answer your questions when you have them.
From long-standing questions out there, I saw there was the guy in the gray t-shirt in the back row, Flash here in the front, and the woman with the crutch, I think.
Thank you.
Okay. So I just want to attempt to answer your question about some practical things that people do to kind of squash that. I think the biggest thing is not limiting like responses to sort of these huge internet things, because I think it's like really easy for the average person to say, well, like, that's just Aisha Tyler, that's just like Felicia Day. Like, the calling out really has to happen in casual, local, like, family conversations with, like, your one crazy friend that happens to say really offensive stuff that you let slide,
mm-hmm.
because they're just, like, the crazy friend to professors, to people at work. Like, that's really where I think a lot of that conversation needs to be had. And, like, if, like, people kind of say offensive stuff, whether it's, you know, racial or like, gender or, like, whatever, that's really where I feel like things have the most impact, like, you know, as a whole. So like, I just wanted to, like, put that point out there that it's really the small local stuff, I think, that, you know.
It shouldn't have to be famous.
No, wait, you're right.
It can be real
peaceful. I'm not real. I'm starting to wonder if I have anything useful to say at all. Because due to my personality and my upbringing, among other things, I would tend to assume that anybody else who was in a geek space with me, broadly speaking, was, you know, had a legitimate interest in whatever it was about. It perplexes me why people think they can say, no, you're not interested enough to be here. We have to check to see if you deserve to be here. Like I say, it's a lot of personality and upbringing. On the other hand, I can detect tendencies in myself to judge whether something else is worthy of being geeky over. Like, I think Harry Potter. I'm not much into genre fantasy. I'm not comfortable with what I see as a lot of the social assumptions that come with it. But a friend of mine once explained to me, you know, Harry Potter, like you were saying before about Twilight, it got a lot of children interested in reading, and that's not a bad thing.
I also think to that point, part of it is remembering when you're in that position of saying, like, I'm a geek, is this geeky enough to care about, is remembering that maybe your opinion is not, like, the pinnacle of all opinions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, people can be super enthusiastic and geeky, like, about Twilight
nail
or
polish.
Harry Potter.
Right.
Nail polish.
Hockey.
I have a friend back there who's making victory arms over the hockey reference.
I think as a general rule, I would actually be glad if I found someone who knew, who at least, you know, even to recognize what I'm geeky about, just so that I don't have to start out explaining it to her from the ground up and worrying that she'll think, why are you interested in that?
Unless you don't still have a question.
It's more of a comment just to say that actually, I think in the 10 years since the lead up to the Iraq War, there has been a backlash against women in every space, and actually, if by comparison, BDSM is still very vibrant and has a really strong community that's pushing back against it, whereas in a lot of spaces, it's not true. That you get women who were speaking out maybe in finance or maybe in some other fields, and they get the same responses and the same kind of hostility. And a lot of it's trumped up. I mean, like the whole bombing war thing was deliberately trumped up by specific writers, some of whom were funded by the Heritage Foundation for very specific political reasons. And we should all be kind of aware that not everything is part of the great vast conspiracy to turn us back into the American theocracy, but some things are. And that's part of, and they have a lot of money, and that's part of what happens. So when you suddenly see all these trolls on a given website, you can't assume that really represents, that they could be fake geek boys, okay? That you can't just assume that you know where that noise is coming from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you had your hand up.
Well, getting back to what Becky said about having an us means there needs to be a them, and the general trend towards the mainstreaming of geek culture in general, could that be somehow, it's certainly coincident with the rise of the fake geek girl. Do you think that there's any connection between needing to find others? From the established geek culture?
Well, I think that the geek culture is not always welcoming of others, and that's the problem. I have a need to find others. I have found awesome others. They are other geeky women, and they're fantastic.
Not find others like me. Find others like...
Oh, find others to...
Find
push
the
back
other.
Against. Yes, okay.
Find
someone
to
I see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mars...
Mars needs women.
No, women
Mars,
need Mars.
Mars needs water.
You know, the Martians could be geeks too. You never know.
They're the wrong kind of geeks.
They could be geeks for Earth.
They're not like us, though.
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't know if anybody else has noticed this, but we're talking about how girls supposedly come new into a geek space and we're faking it and things like that. How come that happens with women, but you get dudes who are bronies? And sometimes they have for girls, and then boys come in and take it over. How come they're not like, oh, you're a fake My Little Pony
fan?
We
need more gatekeeping.
I do think like a lot of that comes down to what advertisers and what people who like produce toys value, and they hadn't been expecting a male audience, and when they got it, they were like, that is awesome, because that's the audience that we always want, so if dudes like this thing, let's tailor it more towards them, even though we didn't expect that to happen, and that is bullshit. Like, it's for little girls, let it be for little girls.
Hand over here.
Yeah, I have
I had something, and then she brought up the bronies. Don't get me started on bronies. I'm not going to start, but just, it's a little kid's show. It shouldn't be, and there were some really creepy bronies out there.
Yes.
But I was going to say, in a way, with the geek thing, we're all kind of hipsters. Everyone, we're all kind of hipsters about it, because everyone wants to be in their own little group with their own, like, rules, and everyone wants to feel, like, special and have their own thing. But to an extent, we want to extend it, but then if it gets too big or too mainstream, then people get all bent out of shape about it, and they don't like it.
Well, because if it's not secret, it's not special anymore, and if it's not special, then your identity is gone.
And it's not just, like, geek nature or anything. It's the human nature. We all like to have something special.
I was into Google before it was cool.
Yes.
We have about 8 minutes left, so...
On the quick note on the brony thing, I read a really great response that someone wrote on Tor.com a couple weeks ago about how there's nothing inherently wrong with males discovering My Little Pony and going, oh, this is great. The problem comes in the fact that because it's for girls, it's therefore lesser, so it needs to be made more like what I want. And, like, there's nothing wrong with you, adult male My Little Pony fan, of embracing this, but recognize that you are not the primary target audience. And if you are okay with that and are okay with letting it be what it is, then great. But stop trying to take over.
So one of the problems I have with the brony issue isn't so much with the bronies themselves. I think it's great that guys are watching the show. It's a show about women's concerns. It's set in a women's world. They're learning something from this. They're growing. My problem is, did you even know that there were My Little Pony conventions before the brony My Little Pony convention was mentioned? And there have been dozens of them all over the place. They're huge deals, but because girls care about them, the media is not going to mention them. So the bronies are interesting to the media because they care about something that's not important. And that's the problem with the bronies, not the bronies themselves.
You mean the fact that they're legitimates it?
Yeah.
Was there someone who had their hand up who hasn't said anything yet? In the back, did you have something? No?
At what point does being accepting of new fans intersect with shutting down problematic behavior? Because as geekdom in general becomes more mainstream with movies like The Avengers and things like that, as more fans come into a fandom, you're going to have a lot more problematic behavior, I think. You know, when jocks like things too, they might like things in ways that are misogynistic. And, like, at what point do you have that friend that you put up with their behavior because they're my only friend who likes this thing that I like? Or are you able to stand up and say, stop it?
Well, I mean, I think that there are many complex situations. Like, I think it's different to have one friend who's into things with you, and sometimes you want them to stop with a certain phrase or whatever and not know how to express that, as opposed to sort of like a fandom on the internet where there's an influx of new people. And I think that sort of feeling of this is a fandom on the internet gives you the freedom to say, yes, new people, you're awesome. By the way, if you call Natasha a slut, you're not welcome here. Because it is okay to set rules and boundaries for the spaces that you're in that say that is unwelcome behavior. Like, this is a safe space for having fun and squee and caring and learning about things and, like, becoming geekier. But it's not going to be a safe space if we allow misogyny. It's not going to be a safe space if we allow racism. Like, we make it a welcoming space by shutting down that behavior that makes people unwelcome, and I don't think that's the same as excluding people.
And like he'd said before, like, if it's a real-life friend, that's when you got to have that conversation of, like, no, dude, that thing you did, that's not cool, and here's why, and get into it, even though it's scarier when it's someone you know in real life than some random person on the internet who it's just, you know, a username.
Okay, we have 5 minutes left, so I'd like to ask the panelists if they have any final thoughts or anything you want to plug.
I actually have a question for
for Jamie, I'm wondering if if you want to address this, if the experience of being a unicorn and the experience of being a fake geek girl being checked, geek checked, how are they similar? Are they come out of similar impulses? What's the experience like?
I think they have friends over here and they can tell you stories.
Those things intersect.
Yes.
What a lot of people don't realize is people will see black women and they want them to choose. You either experience racism or you experience sexism.
You can't have both.
You can't have both. No. But when I'm in these spaces and I'm the only black girl, I'm experiencing both of those things. Like you have, like I'll have a situation where I go into a group and it's 50 white dudes, a white girl, and a black male. The black male might look at me and go, girl. White female might look at me and go, black. So it's similar, yes, but it's at the same time, it's vastly different because it's compounded. It's not separate.
Right. Right.
Like the Aisha Tyler situation, like we were talking about earlier. Different things happen between Felicia Day and Aisha Tyler. Felicia Day, nerds upon nerds upon nerds came to defend her, which was sexist in and of itself because it was, this girl needs protecting. With Aisha Tyler, it was like, oh, she got it. Because black women are that strong. Black
You're
women.
So strong.
She got it. She can handle herself. Nobody has to protect her. When she probably did need someone to go, you're okay. Don't worry about it. Like, screw these people. Do you want me to cuss them out? I'll cuss them out. So it compounds.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, we've had experiences like that. And we created a group called Nerdgasm Noir, which is, you know, just five girls talking, you know, about geeky stuff on a podcast every week. I guess this ties into the plug thing. And in that, we've, you know, like, created this space for us. And, you know, we feel like if you want to be down with it, cool. We're not going to geek check you. It's, you know, it's just what we like to do. And that's just kind of how we, you know, how we deal, how we, you know, live. And and it's sad that we have to create these safe spaces for us, for ourselves, but it's necessary. It's because, you know, it's a cold world out there, and you never know when someone's going to walk up to you and, you know, interrogate you about, you know, your Batman shirt. So
can you repeat the name of the podcast, please?
Nerdgasm Noir Network.
And we used to have Deborah Walking on Live Journal.
Yeah, I was part of that. I was part of Deborah Walking.
Deborah Walking was the People of Color Death Watch.
Yes.
And then we have rules before you can even join Deborah Walking. It's like, here are the standards to which this conversation is going to go. If you choose and you cannot handle it, we're kicking you out. And there were a lot of people, we closed Deborah. We were like, no, you can't come in. Because mm-hmm. we've looked at you on the internet.
Like, we've seen you.
We've seen you. So we're not going to have that here. But it started because of Buffy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it was like, okay, so there's Sunnydale, and there's no people of color, even though it's Southern California. We
right.
decided that all the people of color got the message that crazy things happen to white folks in Sunnydale.
Somebody needs to tell the people in Bangtan, because people of color in Bangtan.
Like, y'all in trouble.
And trying to tell the internet that there's a problem with a thing Joss Whedon did.
Oh my God! You don't.
I did that once, and then I stopped blogging.
Sorry.
Anyone else plugs?
There was definitely one person in the back who really wanted to get it.
Well, I was going to talk about unicorns, but you like reached in my head and
stuff. Hi, Jenny. Hi, girl.
I think part of it is stop acting like women playing games, being excited about comics, etc. is this unique thing. I've been gaming since D&D edition, first edition. Me having dice is not a new thing, and I shouldn't have to be defined by you're a woman who games versus I'm a gamer, or I'm someone who likes comics, or I'm someone who likes fill in the blank. Except that we all like the same thing, we're excited about the same thing, and I know it's easier said than done, dismantle the patriarchy, etc. But you know, stop giving credence to this idea that you're a black gamer, you're a black female gamer, you're this unicorn that really should not exist. How are you real? So I think for me, that's the part is that you're a gamer, I'm a gamer, let's talk.
So one thing that I've gotten out of this this panel, there was a comment earlier that pointed out that this is not just happening here. This is happening in all fields, this backlash against women over the last 10 years. And I think that may be another area where we can try to break down the fake geek girl meme is build solidarity with women in these other areas. Atheism is having the same kind of problems, gaming, computers, just... oh my God, the part where they're robbing women authors, American women novelists are being put off, taken off the American novelist page and put on their own sub page. Harper Lee is no longer listed on the Wikipedia page of American novelists. It really is just a huge phenomenon. That's not just us.
I think that's
it
for time.
Yeah,
we gotta run.
Okay, thank you all for coming.